Take RFM Dunedin with you wherever you go, with podcasts and live streaming of Primo local content. Download the Access Internet Radio app for free from Google Play and the Apple App Store.
This programme was first broadcast on RFM Dunedin and made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
This year, University of Otago celebrates its 150th anniversary, bringing together students, staff, alumni and the wider Dunedin community for a busy programme of events. On Daring to be Wise, we talk with people from all corners of the university community. Inspirational stories from educators, administrators and those whose time at Otago made a lasting impression. Welcome to Daring to be Wise.
Well, University College is the largest residential college at the University of Otago. Since 1969, Unicol has provided a living learning experience for thousands of Otago students. This November, as part of the University of Otago's 150th anniversary celebrations, a Unicol 50th reunion will be held, and I'm sure that it will be a great pleasure for my guest today to be part of all of that celebration. Chris Addington is former Master of Unicol and currently Warden of Abbey and Caroline Freeman Colleges. Chris, thanks for joining us today. Good to have you with us.
Thank you.
Let's talk a little bit about you and your study for a start, Chris. Where were you educated?
Yes, I grew up in the United States, in California in particular. I had the privilege of studying for my undergraduate degree at Stanford University in Palo Alto. I did a degree, a Bachelor of Arts in English and Economics, stayed on and did a master's degree in education, trained as a secondary school teacher at the same time. First job was in the People's Republic of China, where I taught in what used to be called Manchuria, in the city of Shenyang. And then I came to New Zealand in 1986, and I did a second master's degree in English at the University of Canterbury. As these things happen, young men tend to meet young women, so I met my wife, who's a good Timaru girl, and I've been in New Zealand ever since. So I'm in my 33rd year of being of living in New Zealand. Yeah.
Was living in a residential college ever part of your experience?
Absolutely it was. I lived for the 5.5 years that I was at Stanford University. I was in a residential hall for the entire 5.5 years, a different one every single year, including as a staff member for my last 2.5 years.
Interesting that you could bring that experience to this role.
I've come full circle.
Yeah. Indeed.
Back to institutionalization. Yeah.
Let's talk about the role of the master of university college. What, for the layperson, does that actually mean?
It's an all-encompassing role. So you live in the master's lodge next door to university college. You dine with the students. You do events and activities with them. You provide academic mentoring, pastoral care. You hold their hands when they're sad. You comfort them when they're bereaved. You discipline them when they're get outside the boundaries that you've set for them. You promote the college. You promote its ethos and its philosophy. You stand on the sidelines at the rugby matches and cheer on the boys' rugby team. You play in competitions. It's an all-encompassing, complete role. I can reflect back on my 11 years at University College, and I often describe University College as an elephant. And of course, in places like India, there are small boys that ride elephants called mahouts. And I always picture myself as a mahout. And most of the time, the elephant goes where it wants to. But occasionally, it'll see something tasty off to the left or the right. And if the elephant decides to go to the left or right, you often have to let it go for a little while and then gently steer it back into the pathway that you need it to go. But it's all fun.
It's such a formative time in a young person's life. The beginning of tertiary study, and for most, their first experience of living away from home.
Absolutely. Absolutely. At University College, we would have had students from over 200 origin points. So I call an origin point like a single secondary school or an overseas destination, studying everything there is to study at the University of Otago, from traditional subjects like health sciences or law down to various arts fields or different science fields. But you're right, for almost every single one of them, it's their first significant time away from home. And they're dealing with an enormous amount of change, not only a new living environment, but a new way of study, a new institution, coming to grips with a new city, making new friends. Incredibly, you're right, formative year in their life.
And so a welcoming environment's really important, especially at the beginning of that experience.
Absolutely.
How did that look for students in the years that you were at UniCol, that first experience for them?
Yeah, so the first experience, of course, is the time when they effectively walk up the driveway with their bags in hand, and you have all of the emotions that come along with that. You have them meeting friends that they might have grown up with and gone to different high schools. You have mums and dads and grandparents who are there who have all sorts of emotions. Some parents have tears of joy in their face, and I've had parents say to me, "He's your problem now," and then they run away down the driveway laughing and screaming. I've had tears, anguishing times with that. And then that first week is incredible. It's full of energy and exuberance and people trying out boundaries, but it's all fun. It's all energetic. And almost all of them get through it okay.
And then reality kicks in.
Reality kicks in, usually, when they go to their first couple of classes, especially if they're doing a difficult subject like a science or health sciences. And then, yes, so now it's time to settle down. We can still have fun, but you're here to get a good degree. Yes.
So given that there's inevitably that coming down experience from the initial exuberance and celebration and getting to grips with study, getting to grips with new friends, getting to grips with a new way of living, how can residential college life help make that experience of transition a good one compared with, say, flatting?
Sure. So in a residential college, you are becoming a member of a community. And that community will provide you with not only warm rooms, food, common spaces, a comforting environment. It will also provide you with pastoral care, with academic mentoring, sports and activities, competitions, events, quirky traditions, but most of all, the chance to make friends and to bond. Generally speaking, when we ask young people what's the most significant part of your first-year residential experience, almost without a doubt, 100% of them will say, the friends that I made and the good times that we had together. It is the strongest memory that they have.
Pastoral care also includes being responsive to the needs of students from an ever-increasingly diverse cultural range.
Absolutely.
How do you go about making sure that your responses are appropriate?
It's all about inclusiveness. It's all about being aware of where young people have come from, about listening to their needs, about making sure that the activities and the events that we hold and that we foster aren't exclusive as much as we can. Offering a wide variety of events and activities, being aware that some kids want loud and noisy, and some kids prefer events that are quiet and contemplative. And so it's a matter of providing a little bit of everything so that everybody gets a chance to take part. Fundamentally, all about participation and making those relationships in that first year. So important.
We've talked, I guess, about residential life generically, but what about University College itself? How would you describe the character of it as compared to other residential colleges?
It's big. It's scary big sometimes when you see all 500 of them in the dining room for a big meeting. Sometimes you'll think they just keep coming in and coming in, and you think surely this must be all of them, and then more of them keep coming in and coming in. So it's quite an amazing sight. In the first opening talk, when the poor old master puts on his academic robes and stands up and says, right, guys, here's how it's going to be for the year. Lively, diverse, energetic, fun. Most of the kids who University College tends to attract a large number of students from big cities and big city schools. And so it fulfills a very positive need, because many people who come to Otago, they want to get a good degree, but they also want to have a great student experience. And I have people that come to Unicol and you say, why did you pick to come to University College? And they'll say, because I wanted to go to the biggest college there was, so I have the biggest chance to make as many friends as I can. And so you get a large the college is shaped by that energetic, diverse, enthusiastic culture.
You mentioned aspects of the social and sporting life within Unicol. That must take a bit of organizing. What and is that student driven? Are there volunteers, for example, within the student body?
Yeah, it's because University College is almost exclusively a first year residential college. It is. You couldn't really expect first-year students who know nothing about Dunedin or residential college life to come in and within the first week organize a major event. So most of the events at University College are organized and directed by the live-in staff and by the residential assistants who live there. So that includes a full-on sports program of various sporting codes played against the other residential colleges. It involves an intercollegiate cultural competition, things like trivia quizzes, musical jams, debating, 48-hour filmmaking. But all of these events generally are driven by the live-in staff and the residential assistants. As the year goes on, many students will want to help out, participate as coaching a sports team or managing a sports team or taking charge of, say, the filmmaking competition. We also have an enormous volunteering program that runs at the college. Last year, over 2,250 hours of volunteering were done by residents of University College. And that's coordinated by the live-in staff, but of course it's the young people that live there that go out and actually, you know, sell the poppies, walk the dogs, help to clean up the beaches, whatever it might be.
50 years of history. Is it your sense that the newer, fresher students are interested in knowing about that history?
They often ask me, are we the naughtiest group that's ever lived at University College? Or tell us about what they used to do when you first came here. No, their interests only in passing, I think. Their interests are far more on their friends and on where they're going forward. But I do think that they have a sense that the place has a tradition, and it has a continuous 50 years of continuous service. Of course, the University College was founded for the 100th anniversary of the University of Otago, which makes it a very special place. It was effectively the birthday gift that the university gave itself when it turned 100. So it's quite fitting that the university's turning 150 and Unicol's turning 50. And I do think that students have a sense of I'm part of a big wave of people. Talking about history, many of them who come to University College had mums and dads that went there, aunties and uncles, brothers and sisters, even now grandparents who may have gone to the college. And so if they are coming as part of a family tradition, or they want to live there because their past relatives have lived there, I think that's a real link to the past and to a continuity as well.
We'll talk a little bit more about the 50th celebrations in a moment. I'm really intrigued when you have that many students, how you communicate with them. What primarily in today's modern world is your method of communicating?
Right. So communication consists of very analog style communications. I'll stand up in the dining room with a microphone and say, this is on tonight. Make sure you get there. Facebook pages, tagging students on Facebook, weekly emails, table talkers, posters, flyers under doors. Funnily enough, in this day and age, I actually find communication more challenging than it was when I was at university. When I was at university, all you really had was a notice board. So if you wanted to know what was going on, everybody went to the notice board and read the notices. Now, with so much communication, you find that what you want to say to them can get lost. So you have to hit them in multiple ways, visually, orally, on screen, face-to-face, all of that sort of stuff. So it's communication paradoxically is more of a challenge this day and age than I think it was 30 years ago.
I was speaking in this series to Professor Barbara Brooks about an aspect of communication, and that is that she observes that the students of today have much more direct contact with their parents than they ever did, because they're just literally on the end of a phone or a text or whatever
that
it
is
might
true.
Be.
Some students will be in contact, regular contact with their mums and dads on multiple times a day. When I went to university, it was a toll phone call, and you might have called home once a fortnight, and that was enough. So there are very much stronger links with home now than there have ever been, and that can be both a positive and a challenging thing. Yeah.
Well, yes, talk about that, because I imagine that in your role, you perhaps had to take some actions or make some decisions that didn't always fly well with parents.
Yes. Surprisingly, though, not very often. Given that there's a cohort of 500, most of the kids that came to Unicol were reasonably robust and resilient, and they had made the decision to come all the way down to Dunedin. Many times you often ask students, why did you come to Otago? And sometimes the answer is because it was the furthest away I could get from home without actually leaving the country. And, of course, that's no disrespect to mom and dad. It's just that that kid was ready to get out and forge their own way in the world. Occasionally you have to gently remind parents, listen, you need to let this kid find their own pathway through life. You're not here to tell them what to do. You're here more as a guide and a mentor rather than as a director of their life.
Reflecting on your 11 years there, what would you say are the things that you're proudest of in terms of your achievements in that time?
I'm proud that I helped to foster over almost 6,000 students, the vast majority of whom have gone on to get good degrees and will now go on to be community leaders, business owners, professional people, teachers, pharmacists, counselors, whatever their profession might be. I'm proud that they will go on, they will have children, they will volunteer in their communities, they will coach sports teams, they will be part of local council leadership. I have had a role to play in the education and the support of the next generation of New Zealanders. That's probably my proudest thing. I'm proud of individual kids that I've helped who've had a crisis. I'm proud that I have run for 11 years a college that was very focused on students, the events, activities, things that enrich their lives. I'm proud, obviously, that we've raised the profile of volunteering, that we run a strong mentoring and academic support program at University College. I'm also would like to say I'm very proud of the over 300 RAs that I've had at University College. They are my student leaders who live in the college, and we do pay them, not a lot, but they live in. It's one of the greatest experiences of their lives. It's hard work and can be demanding, but enormously rewarding. And those kids go on to really, many of them come back, and it's great to hear and to share in what they've made of their lives.
Just finally, Chris, we have November, the celebrations for the 50th. Tell us how much you can about what's planned for that celebration and what it will mean for you.
Sure. So I'm no longer at University College, but I am certainly I hope I will get an invitation to the 50th celebrations. When I departed, I left plans for a major weekend at the end of November. I believe it's the 22nd, 23rd, and 24th, if my memory serves me. The goal is to fill University College with 500 ex-University Collegians for 3 days and two nights. Heaven help us what that's going to be like. You're going to have 500 people all reliving their misspent youth. But there are plans for, obviously, photographs, for tours, for formal dinners, for barbecues, for some major event, whether it's a giant trivia quiz or whatever it might be. But it will be fantastic to see so many ex-collegians coming back and rekindling old friendships. I don't think they'll have any problem filling every bedroom.
And there will be time for many, many stories, I'm sure. Chris Addington, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Daring to be Wise, celebrating 150 years of the University of Otago. You'll find podcasts of all episodes from this series online at oar.org.nz. To find out more about the University of Otago's 150th anniversary celebrations, visit otago.ac.nz/150.
Take ORFM Dunedin with you wherever you go with podcasts and live streaming of Primo local content. Download the Access Internet Radio app for free from Google Play and the Apple App Store.
This program was first broadcast on ORFM Dunedin and made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.